الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wa sallam has said that a person who sends 50 times daily durood or salutations or salawat upon me, I will shake hands with him on the day of judgment. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Salatan wa salaman alayka ya sayyidi ya rasulallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya habiballah. Dearest Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, once again we welcome you in this live silsila, Blessings of Hadith of Madani channel. As usual, we will discuss few ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wa sallam and shed some light on those ahadith and try to understand some beautiful madani pearls and flowers derived from those ahadith mubarakah which we are going to discuss. Today we will discuss very important subject, and that is taqdeer. In English, you can say destiny, you can say fate. This issue is very sensitive and very delicate. People used to fight on these issues with each other, and they formed groupings and sects. Like they used to be Jabriya and they used to be Qadriya. All these type of people used to debate with each other all the time on the matters of taqdeer. This issue is actually beyond the comprehension of a common man. Therefore, ulama ikram do not encourage the ordinary people to get involved in this issue or discuss the issue of taqdeer. However, because the minds are very curious always, therefore ulama ikram give brief understanding regarding this important and sensitive matter. The meaning of taqdeer, the literal meaning, the lughvi meaning of taqdeer is measurement. When you measure something, that is taqdeer in its literal meaning. And also, the word taqdeer or qadr is used in the meaning of qaza or decision or judgment. So in the terminology of Sharia, the word taqdeer or qadr is used in the meaning of decision, a decision of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal regarding something that is called taqdeer. Taqdeer is divided into three categories. It's very important to understand this division, and then we can understand many other issues based on this distribution. One type of taqdeer is called mubram, and number two is mushabah ba mubram, and number three is muallaq. Mubram taqdeer or mubram destiny is that which is unchangeable. It can never change. When Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam wanted to make dua for Qaum Lut, for the people of Lut, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stopped Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam to make dua for Qaum Lut. Because the azab, the punishment which was decided to come on the Qaum Lut, that was final. It was decided under the taqdeer mubram, so there was no possibility of change. So rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stopped Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam to make dua for that. And on the other hand, we see that because of the dua of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam's age increased from 60 to 100 years. His original age was 60, and when Hazrat Adam alayhi salam made dua of Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam, his age became 100 years. Now how did that happen? Because this was under the taqdeer which was mu'allaq. And the taqdeer which is in between, that's called mushabih mubram. That it is mu'allaq, it is pending. But in the books of angels, it is written as mubram, as unchangeable. But in the knowledge of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, it is changeable. So this type of taqdeer can also be changed with the dua of special friends of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Also, there are many misconceptions and misunderstandings regarding taqdeer. People feel that if everything has been written beforehand, we have to do that, we have to follow that. So if it is written in our taqdeer that I have to speak a lie, then I would speak a lie. If it is written in my taqdeer that I have to steal, then I have to steal. If it is written in my taqdeer that na'uzu billah, I have to commit adultery, then I have to commit adultery. So why should I be punished? So that's the understanding of several people. People feel that we are forced like stones, as the stone doesn't make any intention, any decision, any move. So that's our condition. And some people feel that if we are punished, then that's an oppression. That is not fair. So that is a severe misunderstanding. In fact, man is not forced like a stone, like a brick, like a wall. Neither he is absolutely powerful upon everything. There are areas in which he doesn't have power, and there are areas in which he does have a power. What to do, what not to do, to choose between right and wrong, to choose between lawful and unlawful, to choose between permissible and impermissible, that is within the control of every person. And the other issues like when the rain will come and when the rain will not come, when the sickness will come, when the sickness will go, when the death will come, these are those issues that we don't have power over it. So that is important to understand, that in which area we are powerful and in which area we are not powerful. A story comes to mind. Some people who believe that we are forced, so if we do something wrong, we shouldn't be blamed for that. There was a man who who went into a fruit farm of someone, and he climbed on the tree and started breaking fruits and started eating. The farmer came and he saw some activity and he realized that there's somebody on the tree and he's breaking fruits. And he looked at this man and he said, "Hey man, why are you doing this? Don't you know that this is not lawful for you? This is not your property. For you to steal and eat is haram. It's not allowed." So this man says to the owner of that tree, the farmer, he said, "It looks like you don't read Quran." The farmer was shocked to hear that he's a steal and on top of he's a thief, he's stealing, and on top of that, he's talking about reading Quran and understanding Quran. So he said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, it's written in Quran that nothing happens without the will of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. So if Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala did not will, then a person like me, 100 kg or more or less, such huge body, how I could have climbed on the tree and then break the fruit and eat the fruit? Because it was written in the taqdeer, it is already planned, that's why it's happening." He said, "Okay." He pulled him from the leg, brought him down, and he took out his heavy shoe and he started hitting him. When he felt the pain, and he said, "Why are you hitting me?" So the farmer said, "It looks like you also don't read Quran like me. Don't you know that nothing happens without the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not will that I should be giving you hiding, then I would not have been doing that." So then he said, "I understand, please leave me now, but I understand the masala of taqdeer today, that there are areas in which we are powerful and we make our own decisions. In fact, the matter of taqdeer is this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the knowledge of past, present and future. So nothing is hidden from Him. Whatever we were going to do in the future, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew in the past and He wrote down everything. He ordered the pen to write on the tablet. And because His knowledge is perfect and nothing is going to happen against His knowledge, so whatever we are going to do, it's already written. It's in this sense. In other words, to make it simple, that it is not that we are going to do what is written there. In fact, what we were going to do with our own will and desire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had the knowledge about it in the past. Therefore, that has been written in the lah and that becomes our taqdeer and our destiny. So now let's move forward to some of the ahadith and we learn few more Madani flowers. An Abdullah ibn Amr qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam katab Allahu maqadir al khalaiq qabla an yakhluq as samawati wal arda bi 50,000 sanatin. قال وكان عرشه على الماء رواه مسلم. حضرت Abdullah bin Amr رضي الله تعالى عنه reports that our beloved Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم said, Allah سبحانه وتعالى wrote down the taqdeers, the decisions, the measurements of all the creations 50,000 years before the creation of heavens, means the skies and the earth. And at that time, the arsh of Almighty Allah was on the water. This hadith of Mubarakah is reported in Sahih al-Bukhari. What is the meaning of this hadith of Mubarakah? The meaning of this hadith of Mubarakah is this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the pen to write on the tablet everything from the beginning to the end. Every tiny straw, every atom, every move, every slightest sound, whatever was going to happen, that has been recorded in that book. And what was the need? Why was it written down? It is not written down because there was any possibility for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forget about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from forgetting. So it is written down for other reasons. Ulama ikram have said, it is mentioned in the Milqat of Hazrat Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, that the reason for writing down everything was for angels and for special beloved friends of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, Anbiya and special other friends, Awliya, that they can look at the taqdeer and they can have the knowledge and they can have at they can have a look at the tablet. As Hazrat Allama Maulana Sharfuddin, Imam Sharfuddin Bushiri rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, writes in his famous Qasida Al-Burda, فَإِنَّ مِنْ جُودِكَ الدُّنْيَا وَدَرَّتَهَا وَمِنْ عُلُومِكَ عِلْمَ اللَّوْحِ وَالْقَلَمِ. Ya Rasulullah, the dunya and the akhirah, both are part of your generosity. Your total generosity is much bigger than that. But this universe, this world and the hereafter, both are part of your generosity. وَمِنْ عُلُومِكَ عِلْمَ اللَّوْحِ وَالْقَلَمِ. And the knowledge of pen and the tablet. Mean whatever the pen has written down and whatever has been written down upon the tablet, all that is part of your knowledge, O beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in real fact, your knowledge is much greater, much bigger than what is being written in the tablet. So we understand a very vital point from this hadith mubarakah, that special friends of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, they are informed about the taqdeer and the things that are happening and are going to happen. And also, the name of lah upon which the taqdeers are written in Quran Kareem is Kitabum Mubeen. Kitabum Mubeen means a book which makes everything apparent, which is shining and clear, not hidden. So if lah, if the tablet was hidden totally and nobody had access to see, then it can't be called Kitabum Mubeen. So its name, Kitabum Mubeen, is telling that there are people who have access to see what is written there, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need to see. He is free from that. He cannot forget. His knowledge is perfect. So that written down is shown to his special servants and slaves. And those are, of course, angels and anbiya and special high-ranked awliya Allah. And we also learn in this hadith mubarakah that arsh was created before the heavens, before the skies and before the earth. But what is being said here, the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the arsh, was on the water. It means that there was nothing in between the water and the arsh. Arsh was there where it is right now, But it was on top of the water. It means that at the bottom it was water, and on top it was arsh, and there was nothing in between. So that means there were no skies, no planets, no sun, no moon, no stars, no galaxies. There was nothing. And ulama ikram have said that it is not possible for arsh, for throne of Allah Azza wa Jal, to be physically on the water. The reason is that the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is much bigger than the earth. So the water that is in this earth is much smaller. So it was not possible for the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be placed on the water. Therefore, the correct understanding of Hadith Mubarakah is that there was nothing between water and the arsh of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. وعن ابن عمر قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كل شيء بقدر حتى العجز والكيس. هذا سيدنا ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما reports that our beloved Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم has said, everything is with measurement. Till the humbleness, even the humbleness that person has, and intelligence, that sharpness, the cleverness of your brain, everything is measured. There is nothing which is unplanned. There is nothing which is not measured properly by Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. There is nothing upon which a decision has not been made yet. So the tafsir and the commentary and the explanation of this hadith mubarakah is the ayat of Quran Kareem in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Kullu shay'in khalaqnahu biqadar." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that everything we created with proper measurement. So if you are powerful or you powerless, if you are alim or you jahil, you have guidance, you don't have guidance. So whatever your position is, that has been set, planned already, and it is going to happen according to that plan. وَعَنْ سَهْلِ بْنِ سَعْدٍ قَالَ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيَعْمَلُ عَمَلَ أَهْلِ النَّارِ وَإِنَّهُ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ وَيَعْمَلُ عَمَلَ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ وَإِنَّهُ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ وَإِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. Hazrat Sayyidina Sahal ibn Sa'd radiyallahu ta'ala anhu reports that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that some people are such that their deeds are like the people of Jahannam, like the inmates of hellfire. But in reality, they are people of Jannat. They are dwellers of Jannat. And there are some people that their actions are like the people of Jannat, but in reality, they are the inmates of hell. And then at the end of this hadith mubarakah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that amal or deeds are based on the end, mean on the end of the person. What was the situation of the person when he died? So your amal, your deeds would be based upon that. This hadith mubarakah is narrated from Hazrat Sahal bin Sa'ad. He is an Ansari Sahabi. His first name was Huzn, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam changed his name and gave him the name Sahal. This tells us that it is the sunnah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wa sallam to change the name if the meaning of a name is not very good. And meanings do have impact upon the personality. Therefore, it is encouraged in Islam to keep names which have good meanings. These days, it is in fashion that people want to keep unusual names for their children. And in the search of finding unusual names, they end up keeping wrong names, names that don't have good meanings. So therefore, it is very vital and important, and we should take note of this. Why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would change somebody's name? I mean, if name is just an identity, then what was the need? So it tells you that name have importance on the personality. Therefore, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would change person's name. We have seen Amir Ahl Sunnah Damat Barakatuhum Al-Qudsiyah practicing this sunnah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he has changed the names of many Islamic brothers whose names did not have very good meanings, so he gave them another beautiful name with a beautiful meaning. And his kuniyat, or the pet name, was Abul Abbas or Abu Yahya. He was Sahabi, and his father was also Sahabi. Subhanallah. And at the time of the departure of Rasulullah from this world, he was 15 years old boy. And in 91 Hijri, he passed away in Madinatul Munawwara. And he was the last Sahabi to be in Madinatul Munawwara. After his demise, after his departure from this world, there was no Sahabi left in Madinatul Munawwara. Now the last part of Hadith Mubarakah is very important to understand. First of all, that there are many people who are moving around in this world, and their actions are of Jahannamis, mean they do wrong things. They speak lies, they steal, they fight, or sometimes maybe they utter kufr. But they are Jannatis, mean at the time of death, or before the time of death, they have the opportunity to repent, to make tawbah, and then they die with iman. So they are Jannatis. The one who dies with iman, he will definitely go to Jannat. And there are people who do a lot of good things. They're punctual with their ibadat, they give charity, they're upright, they're honest. They don't let anybody down, they don't deceive anyone. But at the end, they change their aqaid, their beliefs, or they do something which amounts to kufr, and they don't repent and die in that state of kufr. So they lived like Jannatis, but in reality they are Jahannamis. So in Hadith Mubarakah, what is said is وَإِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ, that your actions, your deeds are judged according to your end. So it could mean two things. One is that in whichever condition you were at the time of death, at the time of your end, that would be your condition for you to get up on the day of judgment, to be raised on the day of judgment. So if someone died while he was stealing, he will be raised on the day of judgment committing that crime. If someone died while he was drunk, he had liquor in his system, and he will get up on the day of judgment in the same state. And if someone died while listening to music, Music is haram. And people have CDs of songs and music in their cars, and we know day and night there are accidents that happen. And people instantly die. They die on the spot. And what if a person was listening and enjoying the music, an accident happened and he died? So he'll get up while doing that haram on the Day of Judgment. So that is the one understanding, and the other understanding is that at the time of death, whatever the condition of your iman is, based on that, your amal would be assessed, your deeds would be assessed. So if you died, if you leave this world with iman, then your namazes, your salats are valid, will give you benefit. Your charities, your good deeds, your being honest, your refraining from sins, lies, cheating, deceiving, all that is beneficial. But if at the time of death your iman is not saved, and na'uzu billah, shaitan succeeded to destroy your iman, then no use of salat, no use of charities, zakat, hajj, sacrifices, doing this, doing that, it has got no benefit. So this hadith mubarakah warns us about something very serious that we should worry about how our end would be. We are not worried about that. Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu writes with the reference of ulama-i-kiram, and he says, the ulama-i-kiram, the muhakkikin ulama-i-kiram, they say the person who does not fear the bad end, the bad death is that which is without iman. The bad death is not that where a person suffers because of any sickness or any pain, no. In reality, the bad death is that in which person loses his iman. So the one who doesn't fear that, there's possibility that his iman might be snatched away at the time of death. Therefore, dearest Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani Channel, we must be fearing all the time. We should be shivering with the fear of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. What would be our condition? And most of the pious people, they were worried about it. Hazur Sayyidina Ghawsi Azam radiallahu ta'ala, once at the occasion of Eid, he was seen very sad, not wearing new beautiful clothes as normal people would do. And somebody asked him, why is your condition like this? He said, well, my day of Eid or my day of joy and happiness would be the day I know that I left this world with iman. He was a great personality, but they also fear from that situation. So we have got more right to fear because we are sinners and we do so many wrong things. So we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save our iman at the time of death. وعن أبي هريرة قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله كتب على ابن آدم حظه من الزنا أدرك ذلك لا محالة فزنا العين النظر وزنا اللسان المنطق والنفس تمنى وتشتهي والفرج يصدق ذلك وَيُكَذِّبُهُ مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ لِمُسْلِمٍ قَالَ كُتِبَ عَلَى ابْنِ آدَمَ نَصِيبُهُ مِنَ الزِّنَا الْعَيْنَانِ زِنَاهُمَا النَّظْرُ وَالْأُذُنَانِ زِنَاهُمَا الْإِسْتِمَاعُ وَاللِّسَانُ زِنَاهُ الْكَلَامُ وَالْيَدُ زِنَاهَا الْبَطْشُ وَالرِّجْلُ زِنَاهَا الْخُطَى والقلب يهوى ويتمنى ويصدق ذلك الفرج ويكذبه. This hadith of Mubarakah is reported by Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written down the share of adultery of every child of Adam alayhi salam, mean every human being, which he will commit. Therefore, the adultery of the eye is the evil-sightedness, and the adultery of the tongue is to talk about shameless things and indecent things. The heart wishes and desires for it, and the private part proves it to be true or untrue. This part is mentioned in both Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih al-Muslim, but the other part which comes after that is in Sahih al-Muslim, that there is a share of adultery for the children of Adam alayhi salam, which he will definitely commit. The zina, the adultery of the eyes, is to see, and the adultery of the ears is to hear, and the adultery of the tongue is to talk, and the adultery of the hands is to hold or to touch, and the adultery of the legs or the feet is to walk. The heart desires and wishes, and the private part proves it to be true or to be false. This was the translation of this Hadith Mubarakah. Now in this Hadith Mubarakah, it is said that Ibn Adam, means every human being, but certain people are excluded. For example, children who are born and they die, they don't commit any adultery, they don't commit any adultery with their eyes or with their ears or hands or feet. And special awliya Allah, they are protected, they are mahfuz. And the anbiya alayhimus salam, they are protected from that. So when Hadith Mubarakah talks about Ibn Adam, means those who are besides the children, besides the special khas awliya Allah and the prophets alayhimus salam. And in this Hadith Mubarakah we learn that when people do not control on their eyes and on their ears, on their tongues, so they talk filthy things. They talk things in which they get pleasure and enjoyment and lazzat, and they hear those things and they see those things. So that is actually the zina, the adultery of the eyes and of the ears and of the tongue. And of course the hands are used to touch and to hold. Legs are used to be at that place, at the wrong place, at the evil place where wrongs are happening. So we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from all these evils. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala change our condition. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power to turn our condition towards His ita'at, towards His following. Because those who continue committing these sins, there is a fear that they might lose iman at the time of death. So the good deeds, the deeds of sawab, good relationships, becoming murid of pious peer or murshid and a wali of Allah, all these things do help person for the iman to be saved at the time of death. So we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our iman and we die with iman and ultimately we get into Jannat, into paradise, in the qurb and the nearness and the neighborhood of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Ameen, bijahin nabil ameen, sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Salatun wa salamun alayka ya sayyidi ya Rasulullah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habib Allah.